Columbia Congress approved on June 21, 2005, a law governing the disarmament of the country's death squad. This permits the demobilization of thousands of fighters, but the most generous concession to paramilitary commanders in the atrocities of human trafficking. The Justice and Peace Law, the underpinning of President Alvaro Uribe's goal of pacifying Colombia, deprived the government officials of a way to lay the groundwork for removing one of three illegal armed groups battling in Colombia. Luis Carlos Restrepo, the country's peace commissioner, said that they were clear of this incident. But congressional leaders say that in exchange for disarming up to 20,000 fighters, paramilitary commanders are shielded from serious punishment or extradition on drug charges to the United States. The law passed by Congress on June 21st and by the bicameral committees on June 22nd will be signed into law by Mr. Uribe in the same day. This is a law that brings no justice, no peace, said Senator Benito. It should be called what it really is, a law of impunity and immunity. Washington has listed 18 paramilitary commanders as among Colombia's top 15 commanders. The American anti-narcotics officials say that the paramilitary group, the United Self-Defense Forces, is responsible for trafficking most of the cocaine reaching American cities. The group, made up of landowners and drug traffickers to battle Marxist rebels, is purple blacklisted by the State Department, a terrorist organization accused of assassinating politicians and killing thousands of people. These groups benefit the people who have committed the first crime and seek nothing in return, said Gina Peretti, and even Congresswoman and ally Mr. Uribe, who nevertheless proposed Mexico legislation. The message they are sending to Colombian society is that crime does pay. To now highlight the contradictory nature of the United States policy in Colombia, which has received more than $3 billion in mostly military aid since 2000, to destroy drug crops and picking gorillas. The law seals the paramilitary commanders from extradition on drug charges by allowing them to confess to trafficking, giving them double jeopardy. It also characterizes paramilitarism and related crimes as political crimes, which, under the Constitution, will safeguard the commanders from extradition on the related crimes of trafficking. The Trump administration and its representative in Colombia, Ambassador William Wood, strongly supported the law of Mr. Uribe, who had made disarming the paramilitaries a cornerstone of his campaign to the next election. Some influential members of the United States Congress have raised their warning. We want to see the group demilitarized to make more rewards for Colombia's worst terrorists and drug traffickers. Without any assurance that the criminal organizations will be dismantled, the Senator Patrick Leahy, a Vermont Democrat, who is the ranking member on the Foreign Operations Subcommittee and works on Colombian policy. In a letter to Mr. Uribe last month, Senator Richard Lugar, who was formerly the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, said he was concerned that the law would leave intact the competitive mafia-like structures, allowing for the private commanders to disclose knowledge of the organization's operations or financing. The law proclaims sadly that other South American nations are now dealing with life violations in the aftermath of civil conflict. In Argentina, the Supreme Court last week ruled that 19-year-old laws granted amnesty to military officials who committed atrocities during that country's so-called Dirty War are unconstitutional. In Chile, hundreds of former military officers have been charged with crimes committed during the jail of Augusto Pinochet's rule. Here, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights in Colombia, Michael Furling, as well as human rights groups and members of Colombia's Congress, that Mr. Uribe had settled into smart government at too high a price after a year of official negotiations and a 142 square mile safe haven where paramilitary commanders operated freely. Critics say the law would do little to compensate victims who took land under paramilitary control or disclose the truth about atrocities. If did not care what had happened to reveal the illegal structures that exist. He not only did not have justice or offer reparations for victims, but he also did not have the elements to dismantle those illegal structures, Mr. Furlong said. The biggest concern in Washington is that commanders who are, in essence, human traffickers remain largely free to continue moving for change. The United States has issued extradition orders on at least six commanders, including the most powerful leader, Diego Fernando Rodrigo, an underground hitman wanted by federal prosecutors in New York. There are very much involved in drug trafficking activities, an American counter-narcotics official said. They don't ask me whether we have heard of a reduction of drug trafficking, or those very people who are sitting at the negotiating table. No. The chairman says that with the negotiations, hundreds of lives have been saved, and more than 5,200 paramilitaries have disarmed since late 2008. But for now, commanders do not have to guarantee that all their fighters will disarm, or that those fighters adhere to a ceasefire. But it also says the law does not require a complete and honest confession of commanders in return for sentencing reduction benefits. Commanders can, in theory, be charged with crimes. The investigations are restricted and punishment is light, although it is 22 months and possibly on farms, not in prison. This law tries to stimulate truth, justice, and reparation. But what it really offers is impunity. Stephen Sevilla, whose father, Senator Manuel Sevilla, was killed by paramilitary gunmen in 1994. Victims' families are saved by the law, include Colonel Sanchez, whose son, Gerardo Fernando Sanchez, was kidnapped and killed by paramilitaries in 2003. It is brave that this law protects them from their crimes, crimes where so many poor people die, said Mr. Sanchez. Russia's crime and its political influence in Colombia have also confirmed the UN Commissioner for Human Rights, Louise Arbuckle. In her most recent report about the human rights situation in Colombia, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights states the following regarding the paramilitary groups. It was evident that the paramilitary groups had declared a cessation of hostilities and the disappearance of their traditional leader, Carlos Castaneda. Continued their expansion and consolidation, including social and institutional control at the local and regional level, as well as close links with drug trafficking. Negotiations took place between the government and the paramilitary groups that make up the United Defense Group of Colombia, the AUC. These talks took place in the absence of a parallel appropriate legal framework that would have guaranteed the right of truth, justice, and reparation for victims, and ensure that there would be no immunity for perpetrators of crimes against humanity and war crimes. Throughout the year, the office in Colombia advised the government and the members of Congress to put in place a framework in accordance with international standards. Negotiations with the AUC were aimed at the mobilization of these paramilitary groups, despite their continued violations of the peace and hostility, as the government publicly demanded. It was clear that the absolute prerequisite demanded by President Uribe was not fulfilled as had been hoped. No concrete consequences are known to have occurred for the AUC, with non-compliance with the cessation of hostility, which, according to the Ombudsman's Office, four observers, is extensive and serious. In the follow-up report, the Ombudsman's Office stated that the AUC was responsible for 342 cases of violations of the cessation of hostility. These included the presumed reincorporation of demobilized persons into its ranks, massacres, forced displacement, collective and systematic homicides, kidnapping, rape, disappearances, death, intimidation, and looting. These actions took place in 11 departments and targeted the civilian population, in many cases indigenous communities. In November, a demobilization of 3,000 members of the AUC began in different zones of the country, albeit still without an appropriately defined legal framework. Parallel to the negotiation process with the AUC, the punishment consolidation of paramilitary groups in various parts of the country has become more publicly known. The critical received the illicit activities related to drug trafficking and gun running, as well as control for these groups over administrators of the subsidized health regime that they are at in different regions. There are also reports on links between paramilitary leaders and political sectors, and members of the Departamento Administrativo de Seguridad, DAS, and the Attorney General's Office, and the Department of Norte de San Juan. The interest of the illegal groups linked to drug trafficking has become increasingly evident. This was reflected in particular in disputes and confrontations between paramilitary groups. In this context, the fate of the AUC leader, Carlos Castaño, is still the group has yet to be established. The Commissioner has observed that government policies in the fight against paramilitarism, and particularly against links between public servants and paramilitary groups, must be strengthened. Increased confrontation ties and influence of those groups at various levels of departmental and local administration, as well as at the social level, is evident. These policies have not yet been sufficiently able to address the concern at the national or regional level. The situation continues to pose a risk to respect for the rule of law. Regarding the demobilization of paramilitaries, the legal situation of each individual has not been clarified, and including those who may have committed grave crimes constituting war crimes to crimes against humanity. Nor is there enough clarity regarding the treatment to be applied in cases of links between demobilized persons and drug trafficking. This lack of clarity can contribute to impunity. Of course, the implications remain. But the top people act can rid the country of the foreign influence of imperialism in various places, administrations, and institutions. The first task implies that the American fleet will catch its the several links between public servants and paramilitary groups. State officials must also avoid making comments expressing satisfaction or understanding regarding paramilitarism. The massacres attributed to paramilitaries reported in Antioquia, Arauco, Bogota, Cordoba, Yacida, Norte de San Grande, Putumayo, Lima and Risaralda. Some of these affected indigenous communities. First included hostage taking, displacement, forced disappearances, homicides being carried out cruelly, such as a person being beaten to death with his mother in Risaralda, and sexual violations of women and girls. Cases continued to be reported as homicides, both individual and collective, as well as threats of which members of the army or other government employees and the paramilitary groups who were politically responsible, either by omission on the part of the authorities or as a result of joint or coordinated action, in which people executed by the paramilitaries were later reported by the army as killed in combat. Forced disappearance continued to be a strategy employed by paramilitary groups. Various disappearances appeared to be related to forced recruitment, including of minors, and the paramilitary groups in poor neighborhoods of cities such as Bogota, Medellin, and Cincelejo. In violation of the situation of hostility, the disappearance of two persons in Puerto Villarreal was attributed to the northern block of the AUC. In the course of an action in which 10 hostages were taken, including a former municipal councillor, 8 of whom were subsequently killed. The police also continued to be received the abuses of women and children attributed to paramilitary groups, in particular rape, theft, torture, collective killing, imposition of codes of conduct, and sexual slavery. The further information on the situation with human rights in Colombia, you can visit the Supreme Court's related website. This information has been provided by the New York Times and the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights. Continue to visit the store at our studios in Madrid on July 1st, 2005.